welcome to another episode of the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw with Clyde, preview Saturday's Scottish Cup tie with East Kilbride, and we'll hear from Josh Mulligan, and we'll also get an injury update from Lenny Wilson. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome again. Once again, welcome along, I should say.
Thank you, how are you?
I'm drunk with the suit sweats. Yeah, doing fine. Another week by way. So, I think it was a bash on to last week's game. No banter this week. I don't think there was anything to kind of banter.
No.
We'll just kind of carry on. So, Clyde last week, last Saturday, ended up being a 1-1 draw. Large parts of the game, I thought we were the better team. Just much like the game up here at the start of the season where we won 3-2, the difference being, I think, this time that we took our chances and maybe the luck was on our side that last time, but this time round maybe slightly different.
Yeah, I thought we were the better team. I thought we had a lot of possession, but I didn't feel we did enough with it. A lot of balls square or backwards, I think, and Clyde, given their credit, they were well organised. Daniel Lennon's obviously got them well drilled on what he wanted them to do. And that came on show on Saturday. I think we struggled to break them down. Any times we did get in behind, you know, later in the game with Ryan Duncan, I thought we looked dangerous. But for large periods of the game, with a lot of the ball, but I think we struggled to create any really clear-cut chances.
I think it was quite clear, and I think what you're right in saying there as well, is Clyde, I wouldn't say they came up here to get away with a draw. I think they came up here not to lose, and anything on top of that would have been a bonus. Obviously, Goodwillie was on the bench, just coming back for his injury, alleged injury, as we could speculate, and just played Jones up front on his own. So it was clear that their game plan was to try and stifle the Peterhead attack as much as possible. And as you said, they were well organised, but you just always felt that had they not maybe gotten that opening goal, we'd have been much more comfortable. I think maybe if we'd gotten the opening goal, it would have been a totally different game.
We've said a few times lately that the first goal is crucial, and I think in this game it sort of proved it, because Clyde took the lead and then something to hold on to. That's not to say that they were defensive in their approach to the game after they got the goal, because they did have a few chances after it, but it made it more difficult for us to try and break them down. I think they got that extra spring in their step by getting the goal. And we sort of, like I said, we had a lot of possession, but at times I just felt it was a wee bit too slow, a wee bit laboured, and more chance creation maybe just needed to improve slightly.
So in terms of the team then, no Mulligan, he was missing. There was no Strachan and Cameron either, but we'll come on to that a little bit later as well. Jason Brown was suspended. So it was always going to be sort of almost a makeshift back line. Thankfully, David Wilson, he recovered from his injury. And it meant that Simon Ferry was the one that was, I guess, through the short slot just, to play it right back. It seems to be a bit of a revolving door as to who gets to play it right back, which is a bit strange considering at the beginning of the season Andy McCarthy seemed to be the one that was almost being moulded to play in that position, whereas recently with Mulligan playing there and in his absence it's been Scott Brown. So when you make of that decision then, first of all, for Simon Ferry to be playing in a position that we've never really seen him playing in before?
Strange. I think out of the team that played on Saturday, I think if you're putting anybody at right back, it would have probably been Scott Brown, because he played there, you know, just the other week as well, and did a really good job. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it is strange because Andy McCarthy was sort of being moulded to play it right back. But on the flip side, we had said numerous times that if you lose that sort of player that Andy is by hitting him at right back rather than midfield. Whether that's what Jim's looked at, I don't know. But I certainly think it was a surprise to hate Simon Ferry at right back. It's not a position I think I've seen him play at all, to be honest. Maybe he slots in for a period of time with injuries. But for me, I would probably have been Scott Brown. But again, when you take him out of the midfield, you lose that creativity. So I guess, as you said, he sort of drew the short straw there.
But the rest of the team then, as you said, Richie, Brown, McCarthy in midfield, Payne, Duncan and McLean up front. So it's a very good front six, if you like, is that midfield and attacking three going forward is really good. I mean, we're starting to see Ryan Duncan get on a bit of form after his injury. Naya Payne's always busy, difficult, and I think Hamish Ritchie is starting to play well, quietly going about his job. I think nae setting the heather on fire, and nae getting sort of 9 out of 10s, he's certainly getting around about the 7 and 8s, so which is good for him and Scott Brown and McCarthy. And McCarthy's so consistent in the midfield, it is, as you said, it's probably difficult to take him out of there.
Yeah, just touching on the Hamish Ritchie, he did go off the boil by his own standards. He admitted that, as you said, he's slowly getting back to the sort of player that we know he was, you know, this time last year when he was everything he touched with either a goal or assist. And he's slowly getting there, but the players that he's got round about now, as you said, Ryan Duncan, McLean and Brown, these are players that he'll always try to up his game because he wants to remain in the team. You've got players like Jordan Brown sitting on the bench who could quite easily take his position as well. So, good players. You're just looking for them to kick on that little bit. And I think it's maybe the frustrating part, I should say, of Saturday, that good players and we just didn't quite make that killer edge to get the winner.
So the opening 10 minutes I thought was really good. I think it was pretty much one-way traffic. McCarthy and Payne both had efforts for range. I think McCarthy's one was safe, Payne was just dragged wide. So even at that early stages you could tell that there was an impetus, there was a desire to get on top and try and get that opening goal as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we've realised the importance of the first goal. I think the fact that it's Clyde as well, there's a bit of needle between the two sides, and the fact that you look at other games that was played on Saturday as well, Dumbarton and East Fife, it was a chance for us to sort of pull away for that bottom area. So I think the players realised the importance of the game, certainly the fans did, and I think that's why we started off the better team. And I thought we looked good. Again, just go back to the lack of that maybe killer instinct in front of goal.
20 minutes had gone and there was a reluctant to say a mazy run for Russell McLean. It was a run from the edge of his own box all the way up to the other end. Nobody sort of really got near him from a Clyde point of view. And I think, as we said during the game, that he did the hard bit. He got from the one end to the other, but just kind of fluffed his lines at the end, where you'd have thought that was the easy part.
Tired himself out.
I think he did
the mazy run. Yeah, as you said, we sort of looked at him with the shot went to the keeper. We both looked at each other at exactly the same time. We said, but he's done the hard part. Good run, and again, it's just a lot of things. If he'd better connection and goes in the back of the net, it completely changes the game. You take the lead, and it's just them small margins. If they go for you, brilliantly.
And Duncan as well, he beat the offside trap not long after that as well, got in behind, which was, I think, is a run but we're probably going to see more of as well, just him drifting in from the right hand side and just getting in between the two centre halves, or the centre half and maybe the right full back. He got in and he got round with the keeper, but again, keeper was in a good game. On Saturday, the irony was when he played up here last time, it was his debut in a bit of a stinker.
Yeah.
But he's obviously put those demons to bed slightly, and he was sharp off his line and got to Ryan's feet pretty quick.
Yeah, I think we're as you said right at the start, we're starting to see the importance of Ryan Duncan's going to beat the Peterhead team. Delighted that he stayed. He's going to be here for the remainder of the season. I think that's a really good coup by Jim and the board to keep him at Peterhead. He said we're starting to see it. He comes in that left hand side. He almost seems to glide at times when he comes, carries the ball. A couple towards the end as well. Great left footed efforts curling into the box. So, yeah, I certainly think we're starting to see the good stuff around coming out.
And then 25 minutes. Again, this is where we're locked at being at the minute. Hamish Ritchie smashes one off the bar. Brilliant. Individual play on the edge of the box to kind of create the space, and then just inside the box, smashed it with his left foot, and it just comes off the underside of the bar. You would have thought he's done everything absolutely right, and then it literally just a couple of inches lower, it would have been in.
Yeah, a couple of times on Saturday, we said that they've done the hard work, and Hamish did, as you said, in the edge of the box, and just that fraction, it just gets a little bit lower, it hits the crossbar and goes in. Even if you get luck by hitting the off the bar hitting the goalkeeper or something and going in. It just wasn't quite falling for us on Saturday, although it was a good performance, just as I say, that small margins.
And that's maybe what he's looking for as well in terms of his confidence. I know he's, what we're saying, he's playing well, but you know, just get him another goal like that might just add an extra 5 or 10% to his performances.
Yeah, there's a lot of players that, well, it's like any footballer, they're based on confidence. And I think we've mentioned before with Russell McLean that once he gets a goal, he'll go on to get 3 or 4 in consecutive games. So when he's in that drought, things go, you know, aren't quite going for him. I think Hamish is a wee bit the same. Once he gets that goal or he gets a good assist, he'll start kicking on again.
So we're at the 30-minute mark. We're all over them, essentially. We've had plenty of chances, got plenty of the ball. Clyde have shown very little going forward, which... I think if you're a Clyde fan, you're really disappointed with, because it's a chance for them to open up the gap on us, and they've been in a bit of form, but that game plan was obviously to try and stop us from scoring, and that's what's happened. And then of course, it just going by the way things are going this season, Clyde then go and score first real effort on goal, I think with a header.
Yeah, disappointing. I think with just touching on their game plan, I think it was evident that they were trying to do by making Goodwillie start. Akinyi's coming back from injury, but as you said, both teams and managers realised the importance of the game. And I was slightly surprised, to be honest, that Goodwillie was on the bench. But as you said, they got the goal, their first real chance going forward. Didn't do that much going forward. They're good defensively, but they get their noses in front and probably just they didn't shade it in terms of the game, but in terms of their chances, that was only one, and they got their noses in front and sort of held on to it.
It came from a free kick which was conceded in the near touchline. It was given a foul against Simon Ferry, which looking back at it, maybe it's one of those where maybe the referee could have let go. I think there was contact with the ball, maybe there might have been minimal. It looked like Splayden had, you know, had gone down, but he sort of got up to his feet pretty quick. I don't think maybe he was expecting the free kick to be given.
Yeah, referees and Scottish football, they're all at themselves. I think 9 times out of 10 that it wouldn't have been given as a free kick. But hey, nonetheless, you get set for the free kick. You've got to defend it. If you're being critical, you know, the ball, it's travelled a semi-decent area. You know, you're expecting your defence to get rid of it. We've got a couple of big lads in the team, McDonald and Wilson. You expect them to get their head on it. Not to be, they've taken the lead, but we've still had a long time in the game to try and get back into it.
Yeah, nobody's really picked up the sort of short free kick that was, it changed the angle, and then nobody's picked up Elsden as well. He was free,
yeah,
remarkably inside the 18-yard box, which, so if you're going to look at it, if they're going to look back at it and say, well, that's two areas where we could have stopped it, nobody went for the short one and nobody's picked up Elsden. But you know, as you say, it's one of those where you just kind of look, well, just to kind of dust yourself doing it, and then you know you've got plenty of time to try and get back into the game again.
Yeah, I think that was if there is a good time to concede, it's in the first half. You've got a long way to come in. Like, we were the better team, better chance creation, we looked bright going forward, just hadn't quite worked out for us. So to concede a goal was disappointing in the manner that we did, but I still felt that the way we were playing, that we could certainly get back into it. Some games you'll look at and go, we're not really doing well and you've conceded, but I think in this game, although we conceded, we're still, as you said, creating chances, playing well, so I expected us to come back into it.
And of course Simon Ferry went off injured, and if you look back on it, it looks as though it was that tackle, actually it got injured, and it looks as though it's his back. Just after the kick-off, after Clyde has scored, he goes to make a pass, and I think you just see him, obviously it spars him in his back, but it's obviously something's happening, and he just instantly came off. So it is another blow for him, it is another blow for us as well, and at this kind of point for Simon, you've kind of got to think, well, for him, how long can he keep, you know, playing 30 minutes then coming off, or 20 minutes then coming off? You don't want to see anybody end their career or anything like that, but you know, for Simon's sake, you know, you just maybe one injury too much might be too much for him to even you know, there's obviously an issue somewhere, and he needs to get it sorted out.
I think we are starting to see maybe the change from being a player to coach. And what I mean by that is he's come back from injury a few times, and we've said he maybe came back a game too early, but he was on the bench against Cove. So obviously, if he was needed, he could have been used. And then the game against Queen's Park was postponed, and then he was free this weekend as well. Mm. It's maybe just a case of more emphasis on the coaching side rather than the playing side for Seidman, because he said you don't want to see him at the end of career, but you know, in the last three or four times that he started or played, he's, you know, had to come off with an injury, which is not good to see, but at the same time for him personally, you don't want to see him carrying on and trying to pursue it if he is struggling with a back injury or a thigh injury, whatever he ends up picking up. So hey, we don't want to see him at the end of our career, but he maybe just needs to think how he's going to go about the end of the season.
I still think he can do a job, but I think getting 90 minutes out of him at this stage is clearly not going to be happening. Well, I know it's maybe, you know, it's, I wouldn't say like an impact sub, but in terms of maybe if we're maybe 2-1 up or 2-0 up with final 20 minutes to go, you know, he can come on and just sit in front of the back three or back four, whatever it is, and just, you know, almost put the gates up and say, right, that's it. And he'll talk the young guys through that last 15 minutes of a game.
I think that's what we're slowly got to see maybe over the next couple of months. And you see it with Derek Lyle, you know, you're not getting 90 minutes out of Derek, and you wouldn't expect it, but he's this sort of player that can come on and try and change the game. And Seidman might be the same, but as an opposite effect, you're winning the game, you bring Seidman on, you try and secure the win. And I think we're going to start seeing that maybe over the next couple of months. Maybe a change to his role in terms of he's not going to start the game and play an hour and then come off. It might be the opposite way, where he'll come on for the last half hour. Even if he's to change it in a positive way to allow it, you know, maybe like so a McCarthy or a Brown or a Hamstrich to push further forward the park and Seidman sits there. Mm. Certainly think that might be the route that he and Jim goes down.
So back to the game just before half time, then Grant Savery, I should say, one of the smallest men in the team, actually had a header off the line from a corner. Man on the post, which is something you don't see very often these days, but I do like a man on the post. I'm pretty old school when it comes to that, but it does show that it does work.
Yeah, and it's ironic that the smallest man, or one of the smallest guys in our team, has got a header on target, and like you said, it's a man on the post that saved it. It's something that seems to be dying out of the game for some reason, goalkeepers, and I seem to like it. They like that jostling with a player in the box. I'm like you, I like two guys in the post. Just feel like he's our keeper, more security that he can come out and try and claim something. Kane, he's got guys in the post that can just shuffle inside either way. But Grant's unlucky. Had there not been a man in the post, all hypothetical, of course, the man's not there. But you know, as you said, it's unusual for teams to have a player on the post.
Second half, Savely again was involved, produced another fine save for Barry. And again, as I said earlier on, he just seemed to be saving everything. And he was just having one of those games where you just begin to wonder if he was going to get beaten at all.
Yeah, keepers, he's had a good game, and like you said, you start thinking to yourself, is this now going to be our day? We're creating decent chances, and you know, the keeper's on the end of it. If you get past our defence, which I thought was good on Saturday, then the keeper behind him was pulling off really good saves. So yeah, we felt like it was going to be a really good effort that was going to get past them to score.
And I think it was going to take something special for him to get beaten. And once again, Scott Brown has produced a goal against Clyde, which he does seem to like, particularly at home. And I think it's turning into a typical Scott Brown finish. It's just that having the ball laid to him across the 18-yard box, whether it's 20 yards or 25 yards, and he just uses the ball's momentum to curl it into the corner.
Yeah, and rightly so, Scott will get the credit, but the pass as well. It's an underrated pass, because if you get that, if it's underhit, Scott doesn't get the momentum on it. If it's overhit, he's got to take a touch, and again, you lose the momentum.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful ball, just weighted nicely, and it's right into Scott's path. He doesn't have to deviate from it, and as you said, takes one step, curls it in. Good finish, but again, the pass as well, really good.
Yeah, McCarthy's going to get the credit for the pass, and as you said, it was a really good weighted pass. And at that stage as well, he was just on the right-hand side, And I think we were throwing everybody forward at that time. I think David Wilson was even on the right wing at that point. So he was sort of supposed to be playing centre half, but it just shows you just literally throwing everything at it. The good thing, obviously, with the goal was the really good finish. But what I liked as well, and maybe some people had maybe noticed or maybe didn't notice, was the fact that he wasn't satisfied with that goal, because it was almost a case of, right, let's get up to the halfway line and let's get going again. They were looking for that winner.
Oh, you've stolen my line there. I was going to say whether it had been noted, but yeah, Scott scored a really good finish, and quite rightly he could have celebrated, but the first thing he did, he sort of waved to the players, come on, get back to halfway line, because he still felt there was a winner. And you did feel that there was, the pressure had been building them for the 10 minutes previously to the goal. You felt if you get one and you get just another chance, you might get the winner. And it was good to see Scott. He's not happy with the 1 point. He wanted to get the winner. And I think the guys as well, that they run for the bar and they got back and they were, you know, they're ready to go again, which you'd expect. But they could have been quite happy with a point, but delighted that they were trying to push for the winner.
I think Brett Long was the only one that seemed to celebrate here on for his goal. Yeah, but it was quickly all the way up by Scott to get back into position. And as I said, there was plenty of time. You know, it was the 89th minute, 90th minute, whatever it was. So there was still added time, and I think even then we probably had a couple of half chances after that as well. So we wouldn't have put it past us if we'd gotten the winner there.
No, I think once we scored as well, quite automatically and probably quite natural as well, they dropped 10 yards deeper.
Yeah.
Rather than defending on, you know, at the end they were defending on their box. Whereas before we'd scored, they were 10, 15 yards further up. So I think they felt the danger as well. But, you know, it wasn't it to be. But you probably look at the outside and you go, a point, both teams, the position they are in the league, it's probably, would they have been satisfied? I think Danny Lennon probably the happier of the two managers from a way point. But I think the slightly disappointing for our side of things, because I thought we played well, and with a couple of chances, we just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net.
And just to end on one thing about the referee, which I thought the referee did really well. I thought he refereed the game pretty fairly. He let a lot of things go. He wasn't falling for any shenanigans, shall we say, from some players, Ali Love, and things like that. So it was good to see a game refereed in that way.
I cannot remember the referee's name, so that's a good thing. Because I remembered a few referees this season for the wrong reasons. But yeah, I thought a referee was as fair as you can be. He allowed the game to go. I think there was a couple of quick free kicks taken, which you don't often see these days either. Referees seem to want to get everything in position and likes to see exactly what's happening. But no, I thought the referee did a good game.
Yeah, so hopefully
That's
what I say. If we see him again, he'll probably be an absolute nightmare. But there we go. So points all round for everybody. Then a point each, and as you said, the results elsewhere. Dumbarton getting a win against East Fife, maybe not a bad as result as maybe what it might have been had we lost the game. But it just means that we are now a little bit further away from East Fife, and I think they're almost kind of cut adrift now, even from Dumbarton. So, I think probably a point's a decent point, but you know, in terms of the amount of possession and things like that, I think maybe you would have liked to come away with the 3 points.
Yeah, I think at this moment in time, it's a decent point. I just hope come April that we're now looking back and being 2-0 up against Clyde and then drawn with them here, they beating East Fife down there. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the games that you look at the start of the season, you try and aim where you're going to pick up points. I just hope that these games, although we're picking up a point here and a point there, you just don't know what to come the end of the season and go, if only we'd gotten 3 points there. So yeah, at the moment it's a good point. Let's just hope we don't regret it come the end of the season.
Okay, so we're going to, excuse me, so we're going to move on slightly, slight departure from what we'd normally do at this time, but Josh Mulligan has gone back to Dundee. And we managed to catch up with him just the other day about his time here at Peterhead.
Right, Josh, thanks for joining us. What's your time up at Peterhead as you go back to Dundee? How pleased were you, though, with how the loan spell has gone?
Yeah, it's been really good for me. It's improved me a lot as a player since I joined at the start of the season, so yeah, really good. I've enjoyed it a lot. All the boys were really good, so really enjoyed it.
We spoke to you a few times this season about you know, coming back, especially for your injury last season, you know, how important it was to get game time. But how much has your confidence grown in that 6 months?
Yeah, exactly. Just playing games gives you confidence, and I played nearly every game in the league, so it gave me a lot of confidence, and as I said, it improved me a lot. The manager really improved me as well. So I'm really happy with my loan at Peterhead and how it went.
What's been the differences to playing League One football to maybe playing, if you'd been still at Dundee, maybe playing youth football? What's been the differences and how has that improved you?
Yeah, no, League One's I think personally League One is improves you more playing that than youth football, like under 18s, reserve games and that. I think League One, it's proper football, playing against men, so it's more physical, it's more like what you would be playing if you're playing in, with Dundee in the Premier League, so it's more similar to that, and it helps you more, I think, compared to youth football.
Did you have any hesitations with coming back? I know, obviously, last season you only played sort of 10 minutes, but when you got the chance to come back to Peterhead, did you jump at the chance again?
Yeah, well, even the short time I was there last season, the boys were really good to me, and I knew it would be a good place to play football. Lyle had a good spell that season, and I thought, you know, I want to go back and give it another go. So it was good to come this season and play nearly every game. Really happy with it.
I think initially you were sort of played in various positions, and then you found yourself in that sort of right wing back position. Is that where you sort of found your form? How did you find playing there? Was that a totally different position for you?
Yeah, well, I hadn't played in any of the positions that I was played in for Peterhead with Dundee. I was usually more in the middle, but just playing in different positions just helps you. You know what I mean? It makes you understand the game more. So, but right back, I thought. I done well enough there, so I liked it as well. It was good. It was good, especially in that team. There was a lot of space out on the right, so I had a lot of space to, you know, use my attributes, pace and power, stuff like that. So I really enjoyed it there for Peterhead.
Is that somewhere that you'd like to continue to play as you progress through your career?
Yeah, to be honest, I'd play anywhere, but I do like playing out on the right, even if it was right wing or right back. I'm not really fussed, but yeah, I would like to play there more often. It was certainly good for Peterhead anyway.
You mentioned there that you didn't play in any of the positions that you played for Peterhead previous to that. Did the manager discuss with you that could be playing in these different positions before you signed?
No, it was just, he just thought he'd seen me before, I think. He told me he'd seen me before, and he thought I was a good player. He didn't really tell me where I was going to play, so I was just going into it, just hoping to play, not really bothered where I was going to play, just wanted to play as many minutes as I could, so I done that, so I'm happy.
You got 3 goals this season as well, 2 against Dumbarton, 1 against Alawa. Any of those 3 a particular favourite of yours?
I'd probably say the Alawa one. That was my favourite one. The first Dumbarton one was good, especially for my first goal, but I liked the Alawa one. It showed what I'm all about, to be fair, that goal. So, yeah, I like that one.
Obviously, apart from the 3 goals, any other highlights that stand out to you?
Probably the chances I missed. I probably should have scored more than 3. I had quite a fair few chances, so probably that, yeah.
And so overall then, you've obviously been pleased with it, with the loan spell. What have you learned during that spell in terms of your football side of things, and maybe of yourself as well?
I learned a lot. Just like playing, you learn more about the game. Just like where to be, know, positionally, tactically, everything. Just I learned a lot, especially under Jim McAnally, who's been the manager for a long time, so he definitely knows the game. But he improved me a lot, as I've said, since the start of the season. And you know, he put his trust in me. I didn't really have a good start, and he put his trust in me. So I'm grateful for that, and appreciate that. And it worked out well, so happy.
So confirmed by Dundee that Josh is going back. He's going to be a miss. He's been one of the star standout performers once he sort of settled in. I think initially, and quite rightly as well, I think he maybe struggled a little bit considering that he'd been a year out.
Yeah.
I think we would have expected him to just struggle a little bit. But once he found his confidence and sort of settled into the team, you could just see him blossoming.
Aye, he's got the right attitude as well. That came across in his interview. He's a likeable guy. I think he's going to do well. It's disappointing that he's not going to be here for the remainder of the season. I certainly think that he will be in and around the Dundee squad. I'm not sure whether it'll be for the remainder of this season or whether it will be next season, but I certainly think he's a player that can play in the Premiership. He's got the right attitude. He's got the right ability as well. He's never quite just happy with his performance. He always wants to be better and achieve more. And I think he's a terrific player, a likeable guy, and you know, gutted to see him leave Peterhead, but I think he'll have a really good career.
He's got the attributes, you know, to be an attacking fullback, or as he said there, maybe even play as a right winger, because he can do a lot of the work up and down that right hand side. You know, if it's going backwards or if it's going forwards, he's certainly got that attributes, and we've seen plenty of that. This season as well, and as he said as well, that he was disappointed he didn't get any more goals than his three.
He can even put in a shift in midfield as well. I think he's a very versatile player. He can play in numerous positions, and as you said, he's gotten three goals, but he feels he could have gotten more. I mean, you consider it's a player that, well, in the modern day, maybe would be classed as a wing back, full back. I think most guys that play in that position, three goals in the first half of the season would be pretty happy, but again, he's striving for more. Whether that comes from the fact that he's had a season of injury and he feels like he's maybe missed out slightly, but he wants to kick on. And I think if he does go out and loan again somewhere else, they've got a really good player.
So that's it. We do wish Josh well, and maybe our paths will cross again at one point. But as I said, for just now, that is the end of his journey here at Peterhead. We're going to now hear from goalkeeper Lenny Wilson, who has suffered a bit of a bad injury as well, recently operated on, so we'll get an update from him just now.
Okay, Lenny, first of all, how are you? How's the injury update at the minute?
Yeah, feeling and looking a whole lot better than I did maybe a fortnight ago, whenever it was, and obviously, these things happening.
Socials, and it didn't maybe look too bad, but as the kind of swell went down, did it get progressively worse?
Yeah, so I mean, as it happened, I think just with the adrenaline and being a bit dazed, I think I knew there was something wrong, maybe a broken nose or something, but no, I think Derek Lyle was pretty quick on the scene, and he's actually had the same injury, so he was quite alarmed, and he was kind of able to tell straight away what was wrong. So that compiled with Steve, the Dundee United physio, so in the hospital, knowing pretty much that it's going to get me something from what they were telling me. So, it was a bad one. Obviously, I went in the hospital, seeing the x-rays, even with the doctor saying, too many requiring surgery, usually need 12 weeks to recover again. And all this a day after my birthday, just before it got progressively worse with the swelling as days went on, and then actually had a piece and then started the juice again, but went to hospital, get surgery done, and, you know, there was a lot of weight on that. I went on Friday morning and did get some, and so, you know, started the following, well, Saturday at 11 PM, so I was in there for quite a while, just to let you get out.
Are you surprised that you haven't had an injury like this before? Obviously, being a goalkeeper is quite a dangerous kind of thing, especially with a lot of people running about you. But is this kind of the first injury that you've had?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing. You know, these situations happen so often in a game and training where, you know, you're sliding at a striker's feet and, you know, your face is right in amongst the action, and you think, you know, it should happen probably more often, but. No, yeah, this is the first time it's happened to me. I mean, the only real other injury I've really had is maybe, you know, shoulders and fingers and stuff, but no, to get a boot in the face is the first and hopefully the last, but no, like, as you say, as a keeper, you probably got to expect that these things can happen. Yeah, it's all accidental.
You've got a time frame, you said about 12 weeks, so should we see you before the end of the season again?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. The doctor said that these things just depend on the person, like how their body tends to naturally heal, how well, like, you know, I look after myself in terms of, like, my diet and, you know, what I'm doing. Not trying to, you know, push it too much, but, no, I don't see it being 12 weeks. I think a more recent time frame would be exactly the surgeon. Well, obviously, he's done these exact same incidents on footballers, and they've only been, can be anything to, you know, 8 to 12 weeks, but I would assume it'll be probably the April form back, and what's it, February, March, 2 months, yeah, it'll probably be April till I'm back in the match day squad and training and stuff, so, but for now, it's just a case of, you know, progressing the fitness, you know, getting back, like,
So Lenny, back on the mend again. Obviously, it's a huge blow for him. Quite a scary one as well, getting a smash in the face like that. But good to see he's recovering and he's optimistic about being back for before the end of the season.
Bad enough time to get an injury on your birthday as well.
That's
a saying. But yeah, he's optimistic. He's hoping, you know, the doctors and surgeons are saying 12 weeks. Hopefully, we'll see him back in the matchday squad. Before the end of the season. You know, I did look a nasty one on his social media, so I can imagine that as it sort of swelling went down, it would have been worse. But like you said, he's thankful that was at Dundee United Physios, and they got in touch with as well. They were training alongside him. And Derek Lyle, as you said, he's had that injury before, so he was able to sort of, you know, they guide him through it, but, you know, sort of tell him what has happened. So yeah, he's not just a mystic sort of guy. We've seen that over the last couple of years. So hopefully, he's, like I said, he's back in the squad before too long.
Yeah, so hopefully we see him before the end of the season, which brings us neatly on to the new signing that we made at tail end last week. Is goalkeeper Conor Cullen, first of which we think might be two or three new arrivals in the January window. Obviously signed until the end of the season, as I guess as cover for Brett while Lenny is out injured. And I'll be honest, don't really know too much of him, but given by what's been said by the people that either play with him or watch him, he seems to have a good pedigree.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll give good competition for Brett in training. I don't think the keepers come in just to, you know, keep a bench warm. He'll see this as an opportunity. If he can push Brett as well and get his, you know, his himself in goals, he'll do himself no harm. I think it's a win-win for all parties. Apart from Lenny, of course, because he's sitting out. It's unfortunate the way it's happened, but again, I don't think Brett is just going to hate his comfortables that maybe some folk would think. I think the keeper's going to give him a good test and training.
Well, if you think back to last season as well, we thought Josh Ray was playing so well, and then he had a slight dip in form.
Yeah.
And then Lenny came back in and he completed the end of the season. So there is that possibility where if Jim doesn't think that the goalkeeper's up to it or is having a dip in form, you know, it's a chance for Connor to step in. And I know he's signed until the end of the season, but you never know these kind of things. He might get another contract for next season as well.
Yeah, these short-term deals can sometimes prove to be a blessing because he'll maybe come in, he's got a point to prove, he can get himself in the team, and you know, if he keeps a place doing for a couple of weeks, there's no saying that he want to get a contract for next season. So yeah, I think he'll be given a stern test in training with Brett, and I think that can only be a good thing as well, keep his performance levels up.
And on the subject of the window then, I think Jim said after the game on Saturday that there'll be more people going out rather than coming in. He's expecting two to come in. You would imagine one of them would be a right back of some kind.
Yeah.
It's been confirmed as well that Darren Kesson's going to continue at Broughty for the remainder of the season as well. So we kind of touched on it last week, but I think the defensive side of things is where we're going to need the bodies.
It's weird because I think you asked the question last week, where do you think we should strengthen, if anywhere, would it be straight, you know, going forward or in defence? I think Saturday was all a case as well of we're creating chances but we weren't clinical enough, so you could think, well, you need an attacking player in, but you've also lost Josh Mulligan from your squad at right back. Like Jim said, there'll be a couple coming in. I think this was maybe always going to be the case, it would be a few players to go, because on the rare occasion that we have had a full squad, you do have surplus players that aren't making the match squad. So I expect a few players to come in, but equally there'll be a few departing, unfortunately.
I think it's maybe well Jason Brown was a miss on Saturday as well, just having that extra organiser at the back maybe. And as a result, that's where Clyde's goal has come from.
Yeah, he got the captain's armband against Montrose. Jason's a leader. He's improved maturity-wise as well over the last couple of seasons. So I think any team in League One that doesn't have a player like Jason Brown playing will struggle defensively, and you know, we maybe were caught out a wee bit on Saturday by Nahum at the back. Organisational skills puts his head where it hurts as well, so yeah, hopefully he's back as well.
Okay, so finally then we move on to this Saturday's game, which is Scottish Cup tie. Back in Cup action this time against the Lowland side East Kilbride, another Lowland team at home this time. You know, people might look at this and go, well, it should be fairly straightforward, but I think this one's going to be a particularly difficult one.
Yeah, like we said before, we played Civil. It's a potential banana skin, but on the flip side of that, what a great opportunity to get in the next round. I think when you look at the draw, you either want a big team to generate the income for it, or you want a team that you would, with respect, fancy to beat, you know, on paper. So I think we've got the latter. Be far from an easy game, but I certainly think we've got a great opportunity to go in the next round. And what a boost that would be. It's maybe just something that can maybe kick on your season as well if you get in the next round of the Cup. Yeah, great opportunity, I think, on Saturday to go through.
And they're sitting fifth, Kilbride, in the Lowland League. But incredibly, they've won 10 of the last 11 in the league. They're on a hell of a bit of form. The only loss that they've suffered was a 2-0 defeat against Celtic B. They've beaten everybody else. So, brilliant bit of form. And you know, even if it's a cup tie against a team higher up in the pyramid, they'll still fancy their chances.
They'll probably look at it the same as what I'm sort of looking at. They'll think it's a great opportunity to go through as well. For the outside looking in, I'd imagine they'd have maybe had someone here on Saturday just checking over the Peterhead Clyde game. And they'll look at it and go, Peter, he's in the greatest form, maybe languishing towards the bottom half of League One, great opportunity for them to go through. So both teams, I think, will go in with the attitude of it. It's certainly a game they can win. And again, it's like we said when we played Civil, you've got to go in with the right attitude. And I think if we do go in with the right attitude and, you know, be prepared for a strong game, a good battle, I think we should do well, but certainly, like I said, I think it's a great opportunity to go through the next round.
It's all about, as we said before the Civil game, it's about being professional and yeah. not taking your opponents lightly. They are the third highest scorers in the league as well. They've got 69 goals in 25 games, which is a hell of a return, which is almost three a game. Only league leaders Bonnie Rigg and Rangers B have scored more, and that's just slightly more as well. So they will be firing all cylinders, and as you said, they will fancy it.
That's an incredible sell out, the amount of goals that they've got. They're going to be dangerous. A team that's won 10 of their last 11 games, you cannot take lightly. And again, if you look at, we've mentioned first goals quite a lot, but if East Kilbride get the first goal in the game on Saturday, they will really fancy their chances of causing a cup upset, which is why I think we've got to go in the right attitude, be professional, and be prepared. I think a lot of, you can be underprepared for these sort of games. I think if you go in the right attitude, I think we should do well.
And the squad of players that they've got, you know, they've got Conor Brennan, the Peterhead player, Jamie Stevenson, Chris Miller, Chris Erskine, Lee Miller, João Victoria. They're players that have played at the highest level.
So Erskine had played for Partick Thistle?
Yes. Chris Miller, I think he played for Falkirk as well, Hibs maybe as well. So, you know, fantastic pedigree these players have got. And they'll be out to cause an upset. So again, we shouldn't have, it's almost a case of it's our young players against their experienced players, and how well we're going to match up against that.
Yeah, and as you said, these are experienced guys we're up against, and they'll fancy their chances. They, and again, they're just to think, oh, it's only, you know, it's the next round of the cup, but we've done well to get here. They'll be looking to go into the next round, make no mistake about it. But at the same time, we should have the same ambition as well. It's not quite the money spinner that maybe some people would have been hoping for, but you know, if you get in the next round, and like I said, it can really kick on your season as well, which wouldn't be a bad thing for us.
And the winners will obviously, they'll go through the fifth round, which is the last 16 of the Scottish Cup. And as you said, you mentioned there, it's a possibility of getting a big tie, and getting a big tie that might even get attract TV money as well.
Yeah, and it's no secret the problems that Scottish football has had in the last couple of years with the pandemic, and you know, you could potentially say you're one game away from making the club a fair bit of money as well. So a lot of positives from the game, but as I said, you've got to go in with the right attitude, go in with a belief. It wouldn't be an easy game, but I certainly think if we can, you know, start well, I'd be expecting this to go through.
Yeah, so the road to Hamden is well within our grasp then. So we'll end it there then for this week. Do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of myself, Colin Byers and Martin Smith, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.